In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. You know, the good shepherd goes after the sheep. The good shepherd smells like the sheep. The good shepherd died upon the cross out of love for you. You know that we need shepherds. We need shepherds that really care for the sheep, that really will listen to the sheep. I had someone who called me the other day, and she poured her heart out on the phone, just poured her heart out. Let me tell you, it was inconvenient for me to listen. I wasn't feeling well. But the good shepherd cares for the sheep. The good shepherd listens to the sheep. The good shepherd prays for the sheep. What we need today are good shepherds. Shepherds that will smell like the sheep, not thinking that we're above and I'm the priest and you're the layperson. No, that's not a good shepherd. Jesus Christ dressed like everybody else. Jesus Christ healed the sick. Jesus Christ was found with all the people that nobody else wants. I've had someone say, you know, the people that follow Father Tom, they're all these broken people. That's right. That's right. That's absolutely true. Broken people. Where else are you going to go if you don't go to Jesus? You go to drugs? Come on now. Come on. We all want them all to look so pretty, all to have such a wonderful, wonderful vocation. But even the ones that have wonderful vocations, they're just as broken as I am. And that's just the word of the Lord telling us that we need the good shepherd to bring us healing. We need the good shepherd who died on the cross for us. We need the good shepherd whoever lives to make intercession for us right now. Right now, the good shepherd. And the good shepherd prays for the sheep. Bah! Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep? You belong to the good shepherd. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Do you know his voice that he speaks? The good shepherd speaks. He's not mute. I know people have come to me and they said, we've gone to our pastor and we said, God told us this. And the pastor said, God doesn't speak. No, God doesn't speak. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through people. He speaks through pennies for me. Whenever I find a penny, he's saying, trust in the Lord. And at that time, I haven't been trusting in the Lord. And the Lord is saying, it's time to trust in me. You see, that's what the good shepherd is. The good shepherd speaks. But not only speaks, but the good shepherd is there for us. He is our shepherd. And who is he protecting us from? The one who wants lamb chops. He's protecting us from the enemy. The one who wants to ravage the little sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Jesus said. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me just tell you, if you are being stolen from today and your peace is being stolen from, it is not Jesus. It is not Jesus. I don't care what sin you have committed. It is not Jesus. If you are being tortured today in your mind and in your heart, it is not Jesus. Jesus came to save us. He did not come to torture us. The torturer is another person. You can dismiss it. Go into the laboratory and what? Flip the lever, you know, because it's garbage. It's garbage. It's garbage. But, you know, that's what the enemy does. And he makes us think that we're righteous when we start chasing all of our faults. When we start saying, you know, this is what I need to change. It might be what you need to change, but you know what? Only by grace. Only by grace. You can't change yourself. If you haven't learned that now, you'll never learn it. Only by grace will we be changed, and we have to cooperate with the grace. Oh, yes, we have to cooperate with grace. It's very important that we cooperate with grace. How many good shepherds are there? How many are there? You know, the sheep know who the shepherds are. Do you know that sometimes somebody who's dying and they want to pour their heart out. The people that they go to give them permission to pour their heart out. Now, does that mean they have a sign? I give you permission to pour your... No, they just know. Very many times when someone is dying, they don't want to share it with their family because the family doesn't want to hear it. But there might be the washwoman in the hospital, and just she's singing little songs about Jesus, and the person just pours his heart out or her heart out to this person because this person gave them permission. Do you understand what I'm saying? People give people permission. Yesterday at the end of Mass, somebody came in to share with me, and I was very tired, and I had a backache, and she just came to share with me, and I listened to her. And I listened to her. The Good Shepherd listens to people. The Good Shepherd cares about people. I just wish that I had more strength. I wish today that I had the strength that I used to have 10 years ago. But you know what? I'm doing the best I can with the little I have. I want to be a good shepherd. Remember what the priest said to me, the bishop said to me, receive these gifts from the people of God, the chalice. Model yourself after the good shepherd who loved us and gave himself up for us. Model yourself up after the good shepherd who loved us and gave himself up for us. Let me tell you, it is God's privilege to give us God's people. It is God's privilege to give us God's people. He loves it. Yesterday we heard that Jesus was given the sheep by the Father. We are the gift of God to Jesus. That's real. That's real. We are the gift of God to Jesus. The Father gave Jesus sheep. The sheep that smell like Jesus, the sheep that love Jesus, the sheep that obey Jesus, the sheep that, sometimes we get a little messed up and we need the shepherd to come after us and he leaves the 99 to go after the one. Sometimes we just need that shepherd to come and break our leg, and that's what he does, but he holds the sheep on his shoulders and he heals the sheep, and the sheep will not go out anymore because it hurt him. But you know what? The alternative is lamb chops by the wolf. I tell you, the good shepherd is the shepherd of the sheep, and Jesus is that shepherd. So we praise you, good shepherd. We praise you, Jesus, that you are the good shepherd. We praise you that you not only are shepherd, but you are the sacrifice. The good shepherd sacrificed his life for you and for me on the cross. We praise you, Jesus, that you will want to raise up shepherds. Raise up shepherds. Now, you know what? Can a shepherd be doing too much? Oh, yes. A shepherd can be doing too much. You know, and we do it out of what? Many times out of guilt. A shepherd can be doing too much. And God doesn't protect that when we do too much and too much and too much. All of a sudden we reach the point of elasticity and the elastic breaks. So the shepherd needs to discern who he's going to help and what time, how much sleep he needs, how much food he needs, how much he has to care for himself in order to care for the sheep. Now, no one told me that. I've learned it, but I have not yet learned it. No one told me that, but I've learned it. I'll never forget one of the bishops who just died came into my room when I was a seminarian, and he said to me, "You're going to be a good priest, but you have to learn to say no to people. You have to learn to say no to people. You cannot say yes to everybody." And I was telling all my classmates, I had an apostolic visitor come into my room. And you know what? He just died, and they just buried him as Bishop Darcy. I'm looking at the 18th chapter of Genesis, the 18th chapter of Genesis, how we have changed. That's all I can say. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the door. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So Abraham was sitting at the door of the tent at noon. How do I know it's noon? The heat of the day. That's when it's hottest, when the sun is beating down. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men stood by him. Not one man, not two men, but three men stood by him. It says the Lord appeared unto Abraham. So the Lord is three, but yet the Lord is one. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Yahweh, here are three strangers. He does not know it is the Lord. The first law of the desert is to care for people. Hospitality. Hospitality. Even it says, if your enemy comes in the middle of the night, you set a table before him in the presence of mine enemies. You must have hospitality. How we have fallen away from that gift of hospitality. I tell you, hospitality is about the gospel. We saw Mary and Martha and Lazarus entertaining Jesus. They had hospitality. Who do we have hospitality toward and with? Where is our hospitality? You know, it's gone because we've got computers now and we've got television and we don't entertain people, especially the poor. I know we had last week, Anthony, my little friend, came in and I just had had enough. And I said to him, Anthony, did they feed you? He said, no. I said, well, I'm not going to feed you today. I'm exhausted. The next day I saw Anthony, I said, Anthony, I have to apologize. And he knew exactly what I meant. I said, what do I have to apologize for? And he told me. He said, you said that. I said, well, forgive me. I was wrong. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that to you. He started laughing. That's Anthony. But he knew. He knew that I had just passed him off. He knew. He knew. I didn't have to say, you know, are you hungry? I just couldn't go into the house and prepare something. But you know what? I just could have just shook his hand and said, Anthony, I'm going home. But I was fresh to him. And he realized it because he knows me. He knows that I'm not usually fresh to him. Now, Anthony has done things to me that I'm going to tell you. He's simple. He's very simple. But he's stolen from me. But you know what? He admits it when he steals. Now, some people would never have him around to eat because you know what? He took something from me. That's just the way Anthony is. But you know what? I tell him, you don't have a right to do that. That's not the way God wants it, and that's not the way you need to do it. If you need something, you come and ask me, and I will try to help you. You do not have to take things. And he looks like a little child when I'd say that to him. But you see, hospitality is the first rule of the desert. And how many people are hospitable? How many people are hospitable? How many rectories are hospitable? How many rectories are hospitable when someone comes into the house and they have nothing but a bad story to give you? Do we offer them a cup of tea? Do we offer them that we're going to listen to them? Or are we throwing them off because we have something better to do? I tell you, hospitality is the first rule of the desert. Abraham ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, don't pass me by. I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and I will wash your feet, and you can rest yourselves under the tree. He did not realize it was God. are the three angels. He didn't realize that. He only realized that they were strangers in the desert, and they had come to his door, and he was going to help them. He was going to wash their feet and give them something to eat. Now, what makes me laugh is what he's going to say to Sarah, his wife. "And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye heart, your hearts. After that, you can pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth." And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which had already been dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, you can say something about this if you know anything about the kosher meal. Kosher meals did not come from Abraham, because you're not supposed to have butter, milk, and meat at the same table. That's unkosher. But this is B.M., before Moses. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent." Yeah, she's preparing the bread. She's preparing the bread. She's cooking the calf. She's cooking the veal, you know. Veal, prime meat. That's what they're preparing. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of your life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women." In other words, Sarah wasn't getting her period any longer. She's too old. "Therefore Sarah laughed." So these three men tell Abraham, "You're going to have a son next year when we come by." But Sarah laughed. She laughed within herself. She didn't even laugh out loud, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being also old?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Ah, let's hear that word again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is your situation too hard for the Lord? Is my situation too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? "At that time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laughed not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, you did laugh." So here we have people that are caring for these three men. They are three angels, or they are the Trinity. And the Trinity says to Abraham, "You're going to have a baby by Sarah." You never do for God. You never do for God that he doesn't do for you. Now, this is what I heard this weekend. Some friends of mine have never given this much money, but they wrote me out a $1,000 check for radio. Okay. She called me up yesterday and said, the bank took off $240,000 off the mortgage. And now they're paying $1,900 a month for the mortgage. She said, "Father, this happened because we were generous. This happened because we never did anything like this before." You see, God saw that. I was telling people that they were going to lose their house. I was telling people that somebody said, "We have him cook for us." I said, they're in the process of losing their house. But the bank, I don't know how you can do that, took off $240,000, and now they're paying about $1,900 of mortgage, and now they can afford it. That's one story. Another story is this. In other words, you don't do for God that he doesn't also do for you. Barbara said to me, Father Tom, you must be praying because she has an apartment that she rents out, and people who want to come to Boston, it's on the internet, you know, they come and they stay there for a week, they stay there for 2 weeks, they have a swimming pool. But Barbara had given me her house for the School of the Holy Spirit, so 1 week she's going to miss being paid. And she said, you must have been praying for me because I've never had so many calls that want to come into my house. I said, honey, I wasn't praying for you. It's because you gave us that week. God is rewarding you. You never do for God what he doesn't do more for you. Abraham fed these three men. Little did he know he was ministering to God. Little did he know he washed their feet. Little did he know that they would say, next year at this time, you will have a son. No, he had no idea. He just gave because it is the law of the desert to give and to receive people. It used to be like that in Massachusetts and in Boston. I never forget, my mother used to have a friend. She never came very often, but I'm going to tell you, when Rose came, she never left. She never left. She'd be on the stairway talking to my mother, and it was 12 o'clock, it was 1 o'clock, and I'm in the bed that's abutting the stairway, and I can hear what they're saying, not hear the words, but I can hear this mumbling, because she came, and she wanted to stay. My mother would say, why don't you come back again? Come up the house, come and sit down. Why do you stand on the stairs? But you see, that's the way people are. But that was hospitality. My mother could have said, I'm going to bed. It's late now. But she gave her the right to be Rose and to speak to what she needed to speak and to say what she needed to say. I remember when my godmother used to come, Auntie Adeline, my mother would make gnocchis, potato macaroni, and we would have a feast because my godmother was coming. That interesting. You know, do we do things like that now? Are people hospitable now? You know, when my uncle was coming home from the service, my mother made soup. I told you this story before. She bought an old hen, and my Lord, it seemed like the old hen walked through the soup with boots on because it was only water, and my mother was so embarrassed. I'll never forget it. We laughed and laughed and laughed that this could happen. She, you know, she cooked the foolish thing for hours to get taste. There was no taste. But anyway, what we drank that night was hot water. That's it. We did the best we could. But there's always this kind of fellowship, this kind of hospitality that's needed by people. And most people do not use it, and it's always an honor to be hospitable. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the gospel, doing the best I can. We need a visitation of God, I tell you. We need a visitation of God. Abraham had this visitation when he was sitting at the door of his tent, and Abraham had Sarah produce some good food. It's interesting, you see, that all this kind of hospitality has waned away. There are still people who have hospitable, but all this hospitality, for the most part, we don't have time. You know why? We're taking the kids to go skating, or we're taking the kids to go dancing, or we're taking the kids to go violin lessons, or they're at the computer, and they don't even eat with us anymore. Let me tell you, a society that doesn't eat together, they're never going to pray together. A society that doesn't eat together, they're never going to pray together. We need to be hospitable. We need to care about people, no matter who they are. We need to invite people in. We do that every Sunday at my house. And on Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving, I open the house to anyone who has no place to go. Sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes I say, I don't feel like doing it. But you know what? I do it anyway. I do it anyway. That's just the way it is. That's the way I'm made. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. I'll say it again. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we through whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection, through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. I need to hear from you, Father Tom. Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And don't think somebody else is going to do it. Please do it. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.